Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett King.
And Alistair, this week, I got out and about.
Oh, yeah?
And had a real up-close look at some stones.
You got out on the road.
And as a cheeky bonus, when we recorded this episode, I accidentally recorded it through a poor quality microphone.
Yeah, that's a little fun treat for eagle-eared listeners, a phrase which we use quite a lot.
What would be better than eagle-eared, though?
Elephant-eared?
Dog-eared? But dog-eared seen as a bad thing, but they've got very good quality ears.
So this is a live episode. James, what's it called?
It's called The Whore Stone of Enston.
James, how are you feeling? Hot? Tired?
I'm a little tired. A little low energy, I apologise. I've been busy acting.
Acting?
Yeah.
Tell me about it, please. I didn't know this.
I've been appearing in a bunch of sketches. I've played a greengrocer.
Right.
In all of them. I think technically I played a bunch of different greengrocer. Is that the plural?
So hold on, they cast you as multiple greengrocers.
Full range.
What range they must have seen in your acting ability that they thought you could plausibly be more than one greengrocer.
Yeah, from confused greengrocer to paranoid greengrocer to angry greengrocer. And then one last sketch, market trader.
Oh.
Who's a fruit and veg stall, though, obviously.
But to be able to sell market trader who specialises in fruit and veg rather than greengrocer, not everyone can do that.
Mm-hmm. There's some chat in the chat about what's a greengrocer. How do you not know what a greengrocer is? It's like, imagine a grocer, but they're green.
It's someone who sells fruit and vegetables. It's the name of that shop. Maybe in other countries, they're called things like the vegetable store man.
The plant monger. Veg vendor. That's a good one.
Veg vendor. Yes. One of my favourite actors, veg vendor. Fantastic German art house cinema star.
Veg vendors.
He can do them all. He can do greengrocers. He can do market traders who specialise in fruit and veg.
Yeah.
He can do that a lot.
He can do that person that's got the thing outside the front of their house that says eggs £1.50.
Yes, he can. He can nail it.
All of them.
I don't know if you've ever been up to those people. You live in the countryside.
Mm.
So sometimes they'll say, like, cup of tea, £1. And you think, this is not, there's no way this is registered with HMRC. There's no way they're paying tax. But you think, well, you know, come on, a pound. But whenever I've been in that situation and knocked on the door, the person has reacted with utter surprise, as if the sign saying eggs, raspberries or tea was planted there as a prank.
Like a kick me sticker on someone's back, but on a house.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like the rural version of a kick me sticker.
I've never seen cup of tea.
You've never bought a cup of tea for a pound from an old lady who looks like she does not sell cups of tea for a pound.
I think you've frightened an old lady, really. I think you've hallucinated that pound thing. And you've just bullied an old lady and given her a pound to keep her quiet.
We're happy to pay, of course.
A pound for a cup of tea is reasonable, James. You've lived in the South East for too long. It's hot water and I want to say a beanbag, but the phrase is tea bag. I'm also a little tired. How much is hot water in a beanbag? How much is that going to cost you? It's a pound.
That's got to be more than a pound. Beanbags are big. But before we get on with the story...
Welcome.
Welcome, everyone. We've received some correspondence, Alistair.
Mm-hmm. To the old Lawmen P.O. box.
Yes, and it's come all the way from Sweden. People say, oh, it's boring to hear about people's dreams, but this really rewrites that rule book.
I think that rule doesn't apply when you're talking about Swede dreams.
Swede dreams.
Swedes have dreams. They dream of living out in the middle of the countryside with unnecessarily large windows that a sniper is watching them through. I've seen television.
And then does the sniper say just before he takes the shot, Swede dreams.
I didn't even notice that Swede dreams was a pun. Well done.
So this dream, I just got to warn you, it's a little bit spicy, saucy. It's a spicy sauce.
Okay. Are we talking one little cartoon jalapeno next to it on the menu? Or
I think it will turn out to be one little cartoon jalapeno with a dotted line emanating from the end.
Okay. Wow.
The dream starts as a sitcom show with recorded laughter. Alistair Beckett King is standing in front of some sort of reception / medical facility, talking to a nurse and filling out a form. He's there to donate his healthy...
So, James, I've interrupted the edit at
this point. Yes, thanks very much.
Because you and I both know that that letter got pretty steamy.
It was too hot for podcast.
It was too rude for the internet.
Which was basically invented for rudeness.
Yeah, I mean, we might be slightly exaggerating how rude it was.
We just don't want to put it out into your ears. You might be going for a jog or be washing up and unable to press pause.
People do all sorts of things while they listen to this. They shouldn't have Swedish filth foisted upon them. So for the purposes of understanding the rest of the podcast, imagine a saucy story had been told.
Don't spend too long doing that, though. Come on, we've still got a podcast to get through.
Let's get back to it.
Yeah.
What? James, that is extraordinary.
Terrifying, isn't it?
Completely inappropriate, I think. I'm not. Did we get permission to read that out on the live stream?
I did ask, and they're yet to get back to me.
Our podcast is not normally as saucy as this. Swedish listeners.
I just wanted to get people off on the... Get people going. No. I just wanted to share that because it had been frightening me, and that's what they say, isn't it? A problem shared is a problem halved. But what I actually want to tell you about...
Lay it on me.
I've been helped out by a special deputy law person, a member of the public, an innocent bystander who has stepped in. Justin Hyde helped me out on this one.
Oh, thank you very much, Justin. Very brave of you.
Yeah, and he's helped me out because I was looking up the Enston Whorestone.
The Watson what?
The Enston, that's a place name. The Enston...
Okay.
Whorestone.
I think you're going to need to spell this.
H-O-A-R.
Okay, as in the sense of old?
Yeah, like hoary and old, yes.
Yes. I always wonder, is hoarfrost called that because it looks all makes everything look all grey and grizzled and old? Are our old people described as hoary because we look like we've gone frosty when we get grey in our beards?
Oh. I think it's because the greyness, because they're limestone, so when they get wet, they go kind of quite grey.
Okay. If hoary means frosty, then frosties could be called hoaries. I don't think anybody wants that for breakfast.
With Tony the Tiger?
Yeah, that doesn't sound great to me. A delicious bowl of hoaries.
Yeah. So the Whorestone in Enston, it's a dolmen. It's believed to be as old as the oldest bit of the Rollright Stones.
Oh.
If you remember.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, the Rollright Stones. That's older than beekeeping.
Oh. I do remember now. Mm. I forgot you'd contextualised it for me. Yeah.
So it's around 3,500 BC. And it's believed to have been at the front of like a long barrow, but that's no longer there. In fact, behind it, though, there is a peculiar man-made hill, but it's much more modern. It's the one that our camera operator, Kian, had done an art project in when he was at school.
In it?
In it. So there were hatches on the top and a ladder going down and you could get in.
Oh.
And they did an art project, which was he spray-painted on the cover of a wrapper, the Jizza, G-Z-A.
Oh.
Yeah, I never realised at the time what it sounds like his name is. His solo album, Liquid Swords. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he spray-painted the cover of that on there because he was a teenager in the Cotswolds and that really spoke to him.
Naturally, yes, I can imagine.
I think they might have nearly died because they didn't really think through using spray paint in a very sealed off underground enclosed space.
There is a warning on the can telling you to make sure that the area is properly ventilated. Mm. But I guess when you live on the edge and you live for art, I guess you don't always read warnings.
No. I don't know much about art, but I know what I like, and it's...
Nearly passing out in an enclosed space.
Yes, yeah, and it's fainting. So we'd always kind of known about this weird bunker. But it's not. It doesn't really turn up anywhere. I think it might be a reservoir or something, but it's definitely in the place where the old long barrow would have been. There are many theories about what this Whorestone is, and I actually went with Kian, and I made a little field report there. And this over here is the Enston Whorestone. Some say it's an old soldier, died at Ditchley, and then was brought over here through Dead Man's Riding Wood, and that was the grave of it. Other people say it was a guy called General Whore, and that's why it's called the Whorestone. Some people think it's named after the goddess Hur. Some people think that Whorestone is a corruption of Warstone, and this is meant to signify a battle. Other people think it was a stone put up for a French wedding. So they don't know. There's stories about this Whorestone. It could be a marker. There was a battle between Enston and Lidston. I don't know if you remember Lidston being the home of the snuffling beast of Lidston.
Okay, yes.
And the
Harding
Bros.
How could I forget it? Yeah. So Enston and Lidston, clashed.
Yeah.
How large are these places?
There's about 10 houses in Lidston.
Okay, so battle might be a bit strong. It sounds more like something that I would class as maybe a fight or a rumble.
Or a feud.
Mm.
Yeah.
A Barney. Would you say we were in Barney territory?
I think so, yeah. But it involved a general.
So one of them has brought in a general for what is essentially a fight between 20 guys.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Mm. It's like getting Gareth Southgate to come and manage your five-a-side squad. Then there was this other one, I don't know if you heard in the video, that some people say it's put up there for a French wedding.
Mm. Now, is that a euphemism?
I Googled French wedding euphemism.
Because the word French, if it precedes any noun, basically, it means something sexy.
Mm.
French letters, sexy.
Mm.
French kissing, sexy.
Sexiest kind of kissing.
Yeah, French toast.
Sexy toast.
Mm, that's some sexy toast.
It's a lot sexier than eggy bread.
It really is, isn't it?
Put eggy in front of any of those things, it makes them a lot less sexual. Eggy kissing, eggy letters, eggy knickers. So a French wedding, I looked it up. There's such thing as a blanc wedding or a wedding blanc, which is a wedding that's not consummated.
Mm.
And that's what a French wedding could maybe refer to.
That's the least sexy type of wedding.
That's all I found.
Did you know, talking about the blanc wedding, did you know that black and blank have the same etymological origin, even though they mean kind of the opposite thing?
That's a very good one.
Etymology corner for you there. And in a way, they are both an absence.
Mm.
But what are they an absence of? An absence of light or an absence of pigment?
Very good.
Crazy old language that we call English.
A little friend that I like to call the English language and French.
Friend of the show, the English language with some French words.
So there's other stones in the area.
Oh, yeah?
Not only the Rollwright stones. We've kind of gone Rollwright stones is the biggest, then Hawthstone's second biggest, and then there's the Hawkstone, which is over near Dean, which is where the tip was, famously. So that is in a beautiful location. That's in a field, and the stories are that it was dragged there by a witch. And the top of it has kind of got a big cleft in it.
Oh, so is that the hawk shape?
I guess so. And they say that that was where witches were chained when they were burned.
Oh.
But then people sort of more modern times say, well, we didn't burn any witches. Yeah, you get the feeling that's what people would say nowadays. Oh, no, didn't burn any witches.
Hey, James, are you a witch-burning truther?
Maybe.
So if the Rollwright stones are the rolling stones, what is the Hawkstone Donovan? Where does it stand in the pantheon?
It might be a bit of a Neil Young.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Thorstone might be like a bit of a Bowie figure.
Yeah.
It changed from a lightning bolt into a stone, as David Bowie famously did. He had a lightning bolt on his face. And then there's another stone, Alistair, in a place called Tarston, which is very near.
T-A-S-T-O-N. Ah.
But with a sort of local name, it's called Tarston.
I would have said Taston.
And there is another stone, and it's kind of leant up against a wall, and that's called the Thor Stone. That's supposed to have been Thor, the god, Thor, threw a thunderbolt, and it turned into a stone.
Ooh, that's quite cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's not really how thunderbolts work, I don't think. But the people of that town also built a cross, a stone cross, across the road from it.
A stone cross?
And apparently this Thor stone is meant to be evil. It's got an evil vibe around it, apparently. And
yeah.
They built a cross to kind of ward off the evil. But I've also read that the Thor stone used to be part of a bigger stone circle, and they used the stones from that stone circle to build the cross.
Ah, so stealing its power, as it were.
Maybe. Or maybe they just thought there was just one bad stone.
Mm.
I think the biggest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the people of Tarston that only one of their stones was inherently evil.
You think all of the stones are inherently evil?
Yes, and I think he's tricked them into making it, because the cross has fallen down now.
James, I'm going to put something out there.
Go on.
And, shoot me down if you must.
Mm-hmm.
Could the origin of the name Tarston, with its invisible R, be Thorstone?
Mm. Yes.
Could the village be named for the stone?
I think that it is, actually. I think so.
Not to put my detective's waistcoat on, but...
Get it right on.
It's too warm.
There's another stone as well, down by Lynham. And I think this may be called a horse stone as well, but it's down by Lynham.
Which is named after a load of ham in a line.
Yeah, a line of ham.
Let's wait and see if a line of ham appears later in the story.
Fortunately not. Just as a warning, there's no lines of ham or lined ham.
Oh.
Which would be sort of corduroy of the ham world.
Mmm.
As ham is to denim, so lined ham is to corduroy. they all seem to have the ability to go down to the river to drink at night. And it's said that, I think it was the Thorstone or the Hawkstone, a group of people from Chipping Norton were coming back from the pub at night in the past.
Why does every story from your region involve people coming home from the pub?
Because that's all there is to do, is to go to the pub.
Every story in the Northeast is like, a family of farmers were starving to death. And every story in Oxfordshire is like, three absolute lads were smashing it on a night out. When? What? This is unfair.
What happens is the stones go down to drink from the stream, the local stream at night, and these people from Chipping Norton saw the stone drinking. Now, I don't know how that would have actually worked. If I saw a stone in a stream, I would think, there's a stone in that stream. I wouldn't think, I think that stone's having a little drink. Because I'm not three.
Having a little drink of the stream.
The Whorestone in Enston is meant to be a horse, a man and his dog. And he's meant to go down to drink from the stream either on Midsummer or every night.
I see. There's quite a big difference between on Midsummer's night and every night.
If that's your drinking schedule, either once a year or every single night, you really need to know the difference.
Yeah, pace yourself.
Because you're going to need to take a big gulp if it's just once a year.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they're all supposed to go. Like, the Enston one is, the Rollright Stones, I think the Whispering Knights were supposed to go down to the river to drink.
I'm sure I've heard that before, and the only place I would have heard it was on this podcast.
I think maybe they just saw one stone and it's kind of...
Oh, I see, yeah, because you think all stones look the same.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Right, okay. Or is it possible that the stones looked at the people of Oxfordshire constantly going out and getting smashed and then coming home and having visions and thought, I want a little bit of that too?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. If you're a stone, the last thing you want to do is get smashed.
That's true.
So I've told you a lot of rambling little stories about stones.
You have indeed.
That much is established. But I think I've come up with a theory that ties it all together.
A grand unifying theory.
Of stone.
I don't think we've ever attempted anything this ambitious on Lawmen before.
So, Whorestone.
Yeah.
Hawkstone.
Mm-hmm.
Thorstone.
Oh, yeah?
They're all called Whorestone.
You think they're all the same?
Aren't they? Orstone.
Yeah?
Orstone, Orkstone, Thorstone.
Yeah?
You know, that legend, I think it's not actually true, but the story of kangaroo getting its name. The idea is that Captain Cook and all that mob went over there and they saw these kangaroos bouncing around and they asked the locals, what's that? And they said, kangaroo, and that's meant to mean, I don't know.
That is the story as I've heard it. I don't think it's true.
I don't think it's true.
So you think we're in a kangaroo scenario?
We're in a false kangaroo story scenario.
An apocryphal kangaroo situation.
Because in the countryside, people go, ooh-ah. They genuinely do. And I think all it was locals agreeing that that was a stone. What's that stone? Ooh-ah stone. Ooh-ah stone.
I can't believe you sucked me in, James. I genuinely thought you'd done serious original research for the podcast there.
Well, I have got some real research from the Folklore of the Cotswolds by Catherine M. Briggs. She was talking to a man who said he'd seen two ghost men going along Dead Man's Ride near the Whorestone at Enston.
Oh, yeah?
And they passed straight through a wire netting fence, and his dogs were scared of them. But she points out that Mr. Abbott, when pointing out a large slab of stone lying undressed in a disused quarry, called it an ore stone. So probably the word just means a big stone.
A big slab of stone lying undressed in a quarry?
Yes, naked.
Is that... what is that?
It's a nutty stone.
What a beautiful story about some great big stones that are naked.
So maybe the dream did tie into it, actually.
Yeah, it was an unexpectedly sexy episode. Let's move on to the scores then, James. What is your first category?
The first category is naming.
Names.
So I feel pretty good about this one.
Okay, well, you've got a lot of names, all of them, so far.
Oh, yeah.
They're all quite similar.
Okay, Dead Man's Riding Wood.
Dead Man's Riding Wood. Wonderful. Yes. Why were you so confident about names, James?
Because the names was the thing that it all hinged on. But then as I said it, I realised that I just boiled down the names to make an espresso of names.
Yeah, you've been hoist by your own petard.
Ah.
And you hate that.
I really do.
That's the last thing you want to be hoist by.
So what are you going to give me?
It's a two. One for all of the whores and one for whatever that is. Dead Man's Riding.
Dead Man Riding Wood. Wait a minute.
Don't Google it.
No. Second category, supernatural.
Supernatural. Well, stones can't drink from rivers, can they?
No.
They can't move around.
Not once a year, not once a night.
They can't be evil like the Thorstone.
And the cross that's there to protect it.
Yeah, that's also
magic. I forgot to mention there used to be an elm tree in between whose allegiance was unspecified.
Mm-hmm. What else have you got for me?
Which is either bringing the stone there or getting burned at the stone. The still witches. Mm-hmm. That's supernatural.
Yeah, okay. Two ghosts walk through a fence.
Two ghosts walk through a fence. Start of an excellent joke.
I think it is. I think it's a 3 out of 5 for supernatural,
mm-hmm.
because most of it was just stones. Next category.
It's a punning category. Generally unknown.
Can you see that I'm folding my arms?
Can you see that I'm doing jazz hands?
Generally unknown.
Because he was the general.
Okay.
No one knows what they're for. And everyone's got an idea, from petrified general to bolt of lightning from a god to disused part of a marquee from a French wedding.
Yeah, that one's the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a vague category, James.
Mm.
It's a category extremely lacking in substance, and I would argue also, to a great extent, lacking in valid pun.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. It just has a word that sounds like another word.
Yeah, and as a consequence, I have no choice but to give you 5 out of 5.
Yes.
Because it was vague and confusing.
It's one of the vaguest and most confusing episodes we've ever done. It's going to be a real
absolutely
one to edit.
What's the final category, James?
It's sexy stones.
Sexy stones. Oh.
Sexy stones.
Mm. Okay. We've got the bare naked quarry stone.
Yeah.
Very sexy.
Mm-hmm. Thor from...
Thor in the Marvel films. He's very sexy. Yes. All right. Yep, you're getting there. Hawk...
Hawks.
Probably one of the sexier birds.
Yeah, they're pretty sexy for a bird.
Yes, yeah.
Some of this mostly beaks and talons. And a general's, they wear a uniform. And if I've learned anything from the 1980s, wearing a uniform was considered sexy.
It was considered sexy, wasn't it?
And actually the early 2000s, because the dating website uniform.com.
I always find who's attractive in sitcoms confusing, like in American sitcoms.
Mm.
Because they always have to do, like, when someone puts on a uniform, they have to sort of do like a special cut to the uniform to let you know that now that person's really sexy.
Mm.
Because everyone in American sitcoms is really attractive.
Mm.
So it's weird when narratively they have to establish that one character is particularly attractive, because everyone in the show is attractive. So a lot of the time it's just like, it's weirdly like radio.
Mm.
An attractive person walks in and all of the 6 other attractive people have to go, look, an attractive person has arrived. Just so that you understand the story.
They're no longer short-sighted. They must be attractive.
So that is basically what I think is happening here with the stones. These stones, they're so hot, they're igneous.
Oh, I'd like a hot stone massage.
That's my type.
So, hot stones.
Well, obviously, there's you and me, a couple of stone-cold hotties. So that's 2.
Mm-hmm.
Plus at least 3 of the stones sounded pretty sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 5 points for the sexy old war stones. Well, this has been a disgusting episode of Lawmen.
Yeah, I didn't mean for it to be so grim. I thought I was going to tell some nice stories about actual sort of folklore stuff.
I blame that Swede. You know, we need a little bit more British repression in the podcast.
Mm. I blame myself for reading out an email that contained the words robust.
Yeah, if there was a turning point, it was that.
Sorry, everyone. I've let us all down.
So thank you to one Swedish listener with a fertile imagination. You've been listening to Lawmen with me, Alistair Beckett-King.
And me, James Shakeshaft.
You can support the Lawmen at patreon.com/lawmenpod.
Also, thank you to Justin Hyde for pointers on the stones. Thank you. And to Kian of Negative Space Design for helping us with the field reports, which you'll also be able to find on our YouTube channel.
And, of course, to everybody who joined in the live and heckled and corrected us when we just, I think at one point, fell asleep.
Yes, thank you very much for that. I've been trying to make some stickers for Instagram, so I was trying to think of all the catchphrases, and it's basically the sea,
Mm.
and proof.
And just the year that it currently is.
Yeah, 2021.
Maybe we need to hold a catchphrase competition for people to suggest new catchphrases.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Tweet us with ideas for catchphrases and we'll just try and slip them into future episodes.
That won't backfire.
To be clear, we're not legally obliged to include any suggestion in an episode. We have the final say.
Or share any royalties based off monies acquired by using said catchphrase.
Yeah, any word we say on the podcast, we own that word.
Forever.
In perpetuity.
Yes.
Quaz.
Four Stone.
Noel Edmonds. We own all of those phrases.
Hot Law Boys.
Hot Law Boys. Nobody else can say that.
The idea of going more like...
Yeah, the concept of similes. We invented that.
We were all over it like a cheap rash.
What?
Soup. Cheap soup.
Right, stop. We're going to have to stop the podcast and check whether you know what similes are.